Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Today's program brought to you by the Vicks family of products, Lavoris. Trying to think of all the Vicks products that might be dead, but the Vicks products that are alive and alive in my home are NyQuil and DayQuil, which they've narrowed it down to, haven't they, basically?
Well, you've still got your favorite Irish cure, Vape O'Rub.
And for the addicts, ZQuil.
Oh, that's right. That's just sleepy without cold stuff, right?
Those are people that, when they get a cold, love the idea of drinking something that puts them to sleep, but which is really the human condition. I think you want to get something that, sends you off to happy land. And with the pressures of the day, you know, we tend to get overwhelmed, and we probably like something that puts us off to dreamland rather quickly.
I bet I can't take NyQuil anymore. I haven't thought about it. I haven't taken it since I dried up, but there's enough alcohol in it. I bet I'm not allowed
to take it. Is that your expression that you use for quitting alcohol?
Well, Mike, I'm still in recovery.
Since you dried up, it's such a negative connotation since you became sober.
All right, how about this? Since I started the next great phase of my life.
You sound like, Josh, doesn't that sound like he's depressed about quitting drinking?
No, I think you read into that all the time.
Okay.
I think he's very happy about it. But I do think there's a DayQuil and NyQuil version.
I know he's your best buddy.
No, stop it.
I really want to dive right into that. Yeah, I've got a cold. So be aware of that. I rely when I have my cold on NyQuil and DayQuil. And
which version?
What's that?
Which version of NyQuil and DayQuil?
Well, I think that
because
there are
I have
two,
a favorite.
That, well, do you use the severe?
Always severe.
See,
I like the vapor cool.
Ooh,
ones.
Vapor cool. I might go to the drugstore today and see what I can find.
They're a little smaller, and they have. I don't know. They've got like that, like cool in methane.
So are they? Is it like a pill and
yeah,
not like
a
drink? Oh, okay.
I don't do drinks.
I think Mike is the drinker. Mike likes to drink the NyQuil, right?
Yeah. I'm a drinker.
And he also puts 3 coffee beans in it for luck.
Right. No, I take 2 shots of NyQuil most times.
Do you use the cup or just drink straight from the bottle?
I do both. I did both today. I did from the bottle last night and the DayQuil the bottle today.
I'm a bottle guy.
The last time I did it, I actually put it over cracked ice in a shaker and served it with a zest of a lemon. It was delicious.
But have there been studies recently that have said the stuff they put in cold medicines is essentially useless? Is that right?
It makes you more comfortable. But you still, what my grandmother had a sense is if you take medicine, a cold lasts a week, and if you don't, it lasts 7 days. You know, it's the same regardless.
But, could be valid.
But, yeah.
But also what it does, the decongestant part, I think, is the key part that works on these things.
Does it, though?
I assume so, because I had like swollen neck and lymph nodes over the-
What did you have? What were swollen?
Lymph nodes?
Lymph nodes.
I'm close. I'm just dragging it out to get it
right. That'd be hard for me to say. Lymph nodes.
Nodes.
That I could like physically touch and was swollen and hurt. And I took decongestants DayQuil for like 3 days and it went away. So I assume it did its work.
Well, I think the body will clear the snot given a chance. I think that just expedites it, right?
Is it Is the death grip as widespread in your parts of the world as it is down here in Southwest Florida?
Because we got kids
and we got adults and we got everybody that's dealing with various degrees of that. And there's the serious stuff too, like the heavy duty flu and the COVID is still alive.
I hate to bring it up, but it is indeed a quaddemic.
That's the new favorite word that they have. That'll be all over the news today. That'll be existing.
Yeah, you're seeing it around up here as well. The flu is really grabbing people up here.
I believe the products, though.
What's the first thing? It's COVID, cold.
What is the quad?
And what's the fourth?
Oh, it's the RSV. It's the RSV.
No, that's the third one. What's the fourth one?
Herpes. COVID, flu, RSV.
Is it bird flu?
No, it's not bird flu, I don't think.
The avian flu?
That's the other thing that's been on the news a lot.
Could be.
Is it monkeypox?
Rob?
Yes.
Or Josh, put in what is the quaddemic?
I'm putting it in now. And that should give you every single thing
that's out there.
Ah, Mike, you remember you went to school with her, good old Nora.
Norovirus? That's the pukey, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's from a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not cool. Norovirus, flu, COVID, RSV.
And remember, Mike, don't ignore
is that, wait,
virus.
Hold on. Is that what it is, though? When you're,
yeah,
that is.
Is that what it's written down? What does it say on the paper?
No, that's it. You've got it. Okay.
COVID-19, flu, RSV, and norovirus infection surge. They surge, Mike.
It seems to be rather quick this year and rather intense. I hate having a cold doing a show. Thanks for mocking me. I appreciate it. But it's really.
Would you just do me a favor? Would you ask your mother for some apple juice, please?
No, I will not. No, I will.
You have
not.
That privilege. You may deny that, but just
and I've been functioning, and I really expected to function better than I'm functioning right now. And I hate broadcasters that go on like a television station or a radio station when they're sick, and here I am doing that very thing.
Don't worry, we're going to run it through the Ignora virus filter.
I really don't like it. But getting back to something I referenced before, right before the show, Josh shared with me that his wife believes that you, Josh,
yes,
and Rob, by the way, is the puppy that will latch on to anyone who's friendly to him. So I agree with your wife when she says you and Rob are best friends now, because Rob does always need a friend.
All you've done for 2 years is tell me to get a friend. That's all you've done.
And, right. And to be fair, it's impossible to get a friend after 40.
It is. There's no way to do it. I couldn't find someone to go to the movies with me the other day. I canceled.
Well, I will say this, that I have a beautiful situation with the sport that I play, because I don't even call – I call these people – I'm friendly with them.
Right.
I golf with them.
Are they acquaintances?
I know them well. If I saw them in a restaurant, I would approach them and say, hey, how are you? How's it going? Blah. How's your arm? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. I know them all well.
Is there always an injury?
I golf and drink with them.
Right. What's with the limp?
I golf and drink with them. So that would probably be on a low level – a friendship,
Like work acquaintances for a lot of people.
Yeah, Mike,
that's
have you ever seen...
similar to it, but I have no real connection. My wife uses an expression that in order to have a friend, you need to be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't put that effort in.
Would you invite any of these golfers over to your home?
I used to, now no longer. I will meet them on neutral ground. So Mike, I have dined in neutral locations with them. My old friends, before I knew better,
yes,
the guys that I golf with, I would have to the home.
Okay,
that doesn't happen.
I know. I want to preemptively preface this next comment, knowing that it's old. It's very.
I just
want
to jump in because I did hear Josh say something to
me. Someone.
Josh asked a question that's relevant to this. Who ruined it?
Yeah, because if you're not inviting them over anymore, someone ruined it.
I have an answer.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. It's the truth. I'm going to get in trouble.
That's
I don't
right.
care.
It's not. Obviously, he's not a friend.
Their wives.
Oh.
And not that all their sense. Wives, but certain wives. Bah, it was bah, just bah, like bah, not. Bah, 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 exactly.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
But I mean, I don't. Right now, if there is a social situation that is on neutral ground, I'm all in. So it's friendship on the acquaintance level of friendship, and I am blissfully comfortable with that. To the extent where I can linger for an hour, an hour and a half after I've played golf.
That's at a neutral location. Like what I was going to say before, it's a very old reference, but I think it applies here. There's a Charlie Chaplin movie called City Lights where there's a drunkard, a town drunkard, very rich, but he's only friends with the little tramp when he's drunk. Do you think this could be alcohol fuel?
No.
This could be a Charlie Chaplin discussion. Just move past it.
Mike, I'm just talking about the template of
Josh,
being
friends. Josh, when
you
played that Katie clip for me, this is true. This is what it is.
Oh yeah. I sent Mike a message over the weekend from Cake and Cookies.
And right. What was that?
Maybe we'll bring it up tomorrow.
Here it is. Yeah, Katie's coming on tomorrow?
No, just the clip. No, maybe we'll play that clip tomorrow.
Do you think these are alcohol-fueled interactions is what I'm saying?
No, you know what this is? This is the point of a neutral location is Mike needs an exit.
If it's at his
home, he can't shut down the party.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about the relationships, I thoroughly enjoy my time after playing the golf game. Mm-hmm. I really do. But there are degrees of that. And depending on who you play with, that means the exit strategy can be sooner or later. So that's
as a rule, do the friends or acquaintances, do they leave the neutral location before you, or do you leave
there? Are people that they're all on their own time clock.
But you can sort of
another blissful thing.
You can sort of pick out who's going to do it, though, right? Because they have a reputation.
And it depends on Friday. Friday's a lingering day in many cases. And I have lingered, but I don't linger nearly as much as I used to. And then there are the old guys that wait till the bet is settled, and then they are literally standing up as the bets are settled and out and they're gone. Okay. They fly. They fly after that. So
but
that's...
Mike, betting is illegal at Bushwood, and I never slice.
But it's very comfortable for me, and I like that. We went to an event, I'll talk about it later on, with my son, where there were the younger parents with the kids his age, mm-hmm. that we all gathered on, was it Saturday night? I think it was Saturday night, and fish out of water. Could not get out of there soon enough. Could not mm-hmm. possibly get out of there soon enough.
I've been to those.
That was the type of thing. But getting back to you and Josh. So I wrote this down after Josh mentioned it, that Josh's wife believes you two are now best friends, and I have noticed the connection between you two, mm-hmm. which is very, very significant, and it seems to be very, very strong, and I agree that you guys are like the buddies now, because it was like a month and a half ago I started noticing it, that you guys are best pals, but I have a test of this.
All right.
We're doing an appearance up in Virginia. We're coming up there the weekend of May 3rd mm-hmm. for the Kentucky Derby party at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern. And the living circumstances. Josh, where are you staying when you go up there? I bet you've made your arrangements already.
I have. I am staying at the same hotel as you.
Oh, okay.
Does that mean we failed the test?
I thought you'd be staying at Rob's house.
No, Rob's staying with us in the hotel.
That's right. The first night I'll be in Mike's room. Second night I'll be in Josh's room.
No, wait. Be serious.
We're not. No, Rob's staying at home. I'm staying at the hotel.
Oh, okay. I thought that you would be going to Rob's house.
My house is not great for overnighters. It's just not the best.
Even with the kids out?
Especially with the kids out. It's not.
Explain that, please. Is it a mess?
It would require getting either guest room now that I have. Well, I guess Robert's room is not a guest room since he still legally lives here. But Julia's room would require, you know, there's stuff stored in there. Stuff would have to be moved. And it's not ideal. I did offer to pick each of you up at the airport.
Yeah, that's
and
legit.
And that was not split between, not just, well, if Josh, I would have gotten a nicer car. But I would have driven either of you from the airport.
So. I'm surprised because I really thought as soon as you came in here saying that you're, why does your wife believe you two are best buds?
I think because we text throughout the day. whether it's about the show or
goofy
other
stuff.
Things. Yeah.
We have
yeah,
to
you
plan
guys like
our
to
made,
text. You
we
guys
have
like
to plan
text.
Our made for Netflix movies that we watch together.
Right, right.
But that's cool, and that's good for the show, and so that's a good thing. And I know you don't include me on all those, which is thank God for that, because
I think that's probably where it started.
Yeah,
yeah, because even when it gets on a show text, which is
you don't want that.
And Carla yes. and me and Rob. That is that gets to be a little crazy for me. Even when I'm sitting there like at 8 o'clock in the evening, and that seems to be a very busy time between 7 and 9 when we're going back and forth. But I really thought
not as busy as it used to be.
What are you referring to with that?
Is that we'd get a lot of show related texts in the evening?
You mean like the old show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would be. That's a different story altogether.
Very different. Well, actually, that sort of predates texting, doesn't it?
It does. Those are phone calls.
Phone calls. Ugh.
Last one I can remember was when Carl and I moved in together. Anyway.
So it was like a congratulations?
Sure. That affected the
sure,
show?
Sure, we'll go with that. No. Just, I should have let people know. Anyway. Get This is going deep.
Oh,
he's got
man.
Me weak today. He's got
no,
me
I don't.
Weak
you know what? That's not what I wanted.
No,
like, it's not exactly what I wanted at all.
But no, I have.
I think I've told you about it, haven't I, though?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I told you about that one.
I'd say our friendship has gone far enough that I have invited Rob on vacation.
Yeah.
There you go. That is a big deal. That is a big deal. And I, getting back to the whole discussion of friendships with the golf guys where there's no real commitment, my sister constantly travels and vacations with friends. Always. I just don't have the chip where I would be able to do it. I've had guests come to my house and stay often. So I've done that. But
you're a
the
lovely
idea,
entertainer, Mike. Your house is beautiful.
And you guys have come down and that's cool. But the idea of getting on a plane and going somewhere with another couple outside of my sister and my brother-in-law and my mother-in-law and her beau, probably not something and even that is not
I
not
think
ideal.
That
my
you
sister and,
I, and
her brother and my brother-in-law probably would be number one on the hit parade. I'm very comfortable
I
because
think
we've been doing
you
it
and
years.
I could travel together. We have for many years, although if we hit a destination, we definitely want our time apart.
Yeah, but you would know that, and I would know that. So
yeah,
we would
exactly.
be, and we've traveled for the show
for years,
routinely.
Quarter of a century,
as I've mentioned before, Josh, Rob. When you're on the road, any kind of road trip, you know, if we put some of the ideas in place that we are trying to put in place right now, there's nobody better. It would be hysterically fun, and that I would never give up on. But I really love the idea of on my own terms. That's the way. Bioterms.
Has there been anybody, I'll just say in the last 15 years, because that's the approximate age of the podcast.
Yeah.
Has there been anyone in the last 15 years that comes or goes that would qualify as a friend, like a friend?
There is.
Okay.
It has to do with our derby party. Because I'm here to tell you.
Mr. C.
I will be rooming with my son and my wife. With Jimmy Cerrito, when I come up to Northern Virginia, I will be staying at Jimmy's house.
I did not know that. And you've stayed there before. That. Yeah.
By the way, someone should have told Jimmy, and part of Jimmy's deal is that he's flying us, he's flying Josh and me in.
Yeah.
Somebody should have told Jimmy that perhaps he would have wanted to jump in and mention the fact that he's got United Miles that he would have used for our flights before I booked my flight. That might have been a good idea, you know, for Jimmy.
Jimmy, I haven't booked mine yet.
Okay, so yours will be covered, I suppose.
And he's going to
give
me
he wants to do.
The cash equivalent of a flight, which I think is fair.
I didn't know that, you lucky dog.
That's not true. Come
that's
on.
Pretty good. So yeah, we had that conversation, and then I didn't even hesitate because I have I've stayed at Jimmy's before, but usually in a state of disrepair.
Have you seen the new kitchen?
I have not seen the new kitchen.
It's a knockout.
Didn't I have a bad hangover and I woke up to Jimmy coloring at his table one time? That was
That's
fun.
What you claimed.
He was coloring.
I know. I'm kidding.
Woke up in the middle of the day. So that's what's happening. By the way, that is our Kentucky Derby party. I think we'll be mentioning it during the show.
Yeah, it's later on.
Should be fun. But yeah, as far as friends are concerned, that's the way I I linger with friends. And I just, the idea of the, it's my own social anxiety more than anything. It requires no, I am perfectly able to get along with anybody in any social situation, in any location. What I am uncomfortable with is that level of commitment to
intimacy.
Someone, no, dude. Not intimacy, ass.
No, no, is, intimacy meaning like, you know, you're totally open with them.
And, no, I'm not. No intimacy. I can have an intimate discussion with somebody, but the idea of the lack of freedom to choose my, when I'm on vacation, I want to be on vacation,
right?
And I've worked collaboratively for my entire career. There are only a few instances where I've done it all on my own, and even that would be sort of a collaborative thing.
Yeah.
When I had a recording studio and I had people come in and I work with them, that's the way I prefer to work.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as socially, I like to be 100% on my own and then meet people that I can develop a quick little afternoon friendship with and then never see them again. Does that make me abnormal?
No, like any character on White Lotus.
Have you watched the new one?
It's not dropped yet.
It did.
Okay.
Oh, it did last night?
The first episode dropped over the weekend.
Oh, because I watched
it last night.
I binged seasons 1 and 2 over the last week to be ready for the new one.
Watch it before?
No, I'd watched it, but I hadn't watched it since it was new.
Okay. All right. So you got Jennifer Coolidge with my son's new impression. That's a
I really wonder if the show is going to be able to hold water without Jennifer Coolidge.
Because she's
so great.
The first episode seems like it has a nice setup.
Yeah, that's a franchise. That's a really solid franchise
A lot of Arnold's son.
Patrick Schwarzenegger. Yeah, Patrick.
Who's a dreamboat, right?
You get to see a lot of him.
Oh, do you see his wiener?
You do.
Oh, dear. I don't need that.
See, Mike is not ready for that intimacy yet.
No. No, I'm really not. And I like the excitement of meeting like another couple somewhere where you chat and have something common with people. But I know that if it was if it's like two, three nights, I'm done. I'd immediately start to find fault.
Would you describe? Well, that's the magic right there. But
no.
Are you the?
No. Yes.
Are you the weirdly classified person as the introverted extrovert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not
and
like
I think that's
not like
it.
Some people we've worked with.
No.
I am gregarious at a party. I like to engage. I look forward to it. I have social anxiety prior to it happening, usually.
Sure.
But as soon as I arrive, I do very, very well. I just don't, the idea of morning and a guest room and hi, how are you?
Good morning.
I don't like that. Kathy does it all the time. Kathy might be on a vacation like her eighth in a row with her friend that they go away. They go away
and
down
what's
to
his
the
name?
Caribbean. That's funny. That's funny. I like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Your sister are quite different.
Yes, in many, many ways. She was a better student. I was not the student. She has a better academic resume than I do. She has lifelong friends that she is constantly engaging with more than her brother.
Came from the same household, the same cape.
She looks totally different, as you will agree, right?
Yeah, but I'm just wondering why you would be so socially different.
It's a good question.
It's weird. It goes back to, you know, nature versus nurture, but you had the same... You had the same nature and nurture.
You could put me on a psychiatrist's couch.
Yeah.
And you could break down what I am drawn to socially, and I would guarantee you that the type of individual that I am drawn to is 8 out of 10 times bad news. My whole life, I've liked the flashy, obnoxious, loud person at the party. I'm like a moth to a flame.
It's true, though.
I will be engaged in a social situation at a cocktail party.
Right.
And I will hear two people that, let's say, are highly educated, very bright people, talking about their businesses, and I will fall sound asleep. But you get the guy with the hairy chest and the gold chains that comes in and farts, and I will laugh out loud.
Al Chervik.
I'm not proud of it.
No.
Yeah. In Caddyshack, I would have said, I'd like to sit at his table.
Did somebody step on a duck?
I would.
Yeah. Well, he's
and
that's
on those
the
type
is,
of
yeah.
people you burn on very quickly because they're obnoxious. That's the way it goes. You know, I'm not proud of that. It's embarrassing actually to tell that story because the fact is that I go back and I look at friends that I've had, some of them that I still have,
yes,
and others that have gone by the by, and there's always been that thread. You know that, Rob. You've known me for 35 years.
I
know,
you know
one the type name, of people that I hang out with, right?
One name pops to mind. Forno Dan.
Yeah. You know,
there's no way in the world you should have even shaken hands with Porno Dan.
That was through another friend, though.
But still.
But it still was.
It
there
still
I
counts.
Was.
Yeah.
There I was. And I look back on that with
some mid-charting.
I'm mortified.
Some mid-ranking Eastern European pornographer.
Just mortified with that.
Come to my condo in Fairfax.
So is there one of these old guys at the golf club that you and him are getting into trouble together?
No.
You know, I think that and that's where the age comes in, Josh.
Yes.
I think, and that's a great question because I think when you know you're slowing down is when I had over the last month or so probably one or two conversations where we were just taking a drive down nostalgia road, talking about old TV, talking about the way it used to be, and we were a bunch of old farts sitting at the table, and that was it.
Did
and,
at any and, point did he bring up the phrase "separate but equal"?
No, that did not happen.
Good, that's good.
But I, you know, back in the day, it used to be, and I still, if you get me into a large party and there's somebody who is flashy, and I don't say flashy as much as just gregarious.
So not
overly,
like,
I like not, the overly gregarious guys.
Not like Liberace or Fred Schneider, just a regular.
No. But I mean, I would have been, if I had chosen a different area of show business.
Yeah.
And I had gone into like television or movies or anything like that, even if it's behind the scenes, I'd be dead because that's like 99% of the people out there, right? When you're doing that. And it would just be, I would be nuts.
Yeah.
I would be nuts. I love flamboyance. I love that. I love somebody that bucks the system.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just it's kind of weird. It's weird. I don't know if it's good for me. I think it's bad for me.
It can't
when
be
you
good.
Really think about
it can't
that.
Be good. And it also encourages behavior in others that most people don't want to see.
And as I get older, I value the guys that are really good family people and that have great families and are very solid. And I love the coaching world. I love these guys that are so involved with their kids that they coach them and they're there and they're involved. And Carla and my, you could throw golf out tomorrow and give me a choice of golf or following my kid around to these various sporting. And I'd say, bye, golf. See you later. It's been fun because it's so joyful for me to be at every single thing if I can for him. At the same time, I'll miss it if there's, because I'm involved in golf right
what
now,
if,
I'll miss it if there's a tournament or something.
Okay, let's say you give up golf and you're following him from game to game and one of the other coaches is dressed up like a rowdy Roddy Piper, very flamboyant. Would you be drawn to that coach?
There is a, Josh, you might be able to relate to this. There is a, probably, first of all, we are trained about it. We're trained about to recognize, certain ways of dealing with youth. Teachers get it.
Right.
Coaches get it. Mentors get it. Because there are, I am very wary and very mindful of the type of individuals that have been known to gravitate towards kids' sports,
yeah.
youth groups in church, schools. You know, yeah, it happens all the time.
A little too friendly.
A little too friendly, and I'm very mindful yeah. of that. Mm-hmm. And you know, you look around at different things, and you're very aware of that. But at the same time, I think the vast majority, like in life, the vast majority of people are doing it for the right reason. And I admire the dads that get out there and take the time to coach their kids. I think it's a really cool thing.
I come from a broken home, but I'm very proud of the fact that I didn't encounter any of that while I was achieving my Eagle Scout status. I found everyone to be helpful.
Scouting.
Yeah, I loved scouting.
That's as creepy as it gets as far as I'm concerned. Because that would that be probably, statistically speaking, one of the worst organizations as far
Keep
as
in
statistics
mind, like,
go
so
for,
sometimes,
for creepy so, dudes?
Go ahead, you also Josh. Have the Catholic Church.
I was going to say
Catholic
troops are oftentimes
would be number one. You're right.
Well,
Catholic
but some
church
troops
would be number
are
one.
Sponsored by the church. And that's like double jeopardy right there.
Right.
You got to watch out. I'm not really an Eagle Scout. I never did any scouting. But my son was a Cub Scout for a year, and I didn't care for the Scoutmaster. Let me just say, I didn't care for the cut of his jib.
Now, what do you mean by that, though?
He seemed awfully
There must be
friendly.
A reason for that.
Yeah, he seemed awfully friendly. You know, just maybe
like
a little
pedo friendly.
Yeah, you know, you get a feeling. You just, you know, he was just so, you know, friendly. A little too open to the kids, I think. I didn't like it. So we got him out. But he looked great in the uniform.
One of the great truths of society is that that those guys that do that don't last long in prison. That, to me, is one of the great
yeah.
true justices mm-hmm. of our society. That those guys
Scout
that go
masters.
The guys that go in, the pedos that go in yeah. there don't last very long. I think that is poetic justice in yeah. every possible
if
way.
You
I really
go into
enjoy
jail
that.
Like for kiting checks, you might be okay. But
exactly.
You don't
exactly.
want to do the other. Yeah.
That's
that was a plot they cut from the movie Stir Crazy.
There's a guy online that is a former jailbird who is
okay,
has,
Grandpa.
He has really, really, he's all tatted up, and he does real shorts on, I think they're Instagram shorts that he has, and they come out there, and it's like, this guy isn't going to last 5 minutes. And he does all his, I'll give Josh some clips tomorrow to play of this guy.
That's scary.
Because he talks about exactly what happens when these guys, you know, get into each other. If you thought you knew about prison, all you have to do is listen to this guy and hear him describe the rules and how it works and what you're supposed to do. It is not a place that any average schmo wants to go into because it is a very, very scary environment with their own set of rules. And
2.5 days is enough for me, and I wasn't even in the big clink.
You were in the tank, right?
I was in the tank, but I had my own. Mike, I'll always remember.
Back when
this.
Rob was drinking, he spent an overnight.
And then a couple days and 2 days after.
Did you
that
spend
too.
Two nights in the clink?
Yeah, because that was my sentence.
Were you in a community?
No,
cell?
I was. I will always remember this. I was in my own cell, and someone had scratched into the paint Cypress Hill. So at least I was among music lovers.
Wow.
It was not great. They took my shoelaces away.
Wow.
Mike, I went.
I love hearing about that. Can we set aside one segment in this show
sure.
to talk about your jail experience, which
Anytime.
You've never opened up about,
yeah.
that would be
yeah.
awesome. I would yeah. love to do that. We'll do that after the news. I think that's a really cool idea. Now I want to stampede through the rest of
and
the show.
And now we'll do it right away.
What's that?
Yeah, we'll do it right away.
We'll do it right away. Yes, absolutely. Let's take a break, and yes. we will come back with the news. And then later on, I want to hear about Rob talking about, because I think it's in the it's in the past now. You don't, you know, you're not espousing it by any chance.
It was 8 months ago. It's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, and I'll talk about another video I saw where how to handle a DUI checkpoint that I found fascinating. I'm not sure if it's really true or not. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and thrills. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Where was that 30 years ago?
Yeah, really.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's VANTA.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Could, would have helped you, Ron. As you go through life, you got to deal with a lot of garbage. And as a certified adult, I don't have the time to always go to the store to buy trash bags. I mean, hey, I work for a living, okay? I hate garbage. But I love rubbish. Allow me to explain.
What?
This podcast is sponsored by Rubbish. You take out the trash 8,000 times in your life. And Rubbish makes the best garbage bags on the planet that make trash day way better. Examples. They are compostable, compostable, yes. Non-toxic, and PFAS-free. They donate 10% of their bags to charity. Plus, they have a new funny saying on the bags in every box, so trash day is less painful and more enjoyable.
See?
Rubbish was founded by the goal of solving all of your garbage-related problems. These bags are amazing. They feel superior because they are superior. So you can either pay $20 a month for a streaming service you don't watch, or way less than $20 a month for hilarious jokes on garbage bags. So the choice is pretty easy. They have a sense of humor. I love that.
That's great. That's great.
You deserve the best garbage bags money can buy. So Rubbish created them. Rubbish is running a 30% off sale, but you can get an extra 5% off by going to rubbishhome.com and using the code TMOS. That's an extra 5% off for a total of 35% off your order if you go to rubbishhome.com and use our code TMOS. Do that today, ladies and gentlemen. And
Mike, remember, that's rubbish with two B's.
Yes, not one B.
No.
That would be rubbish.
Rubbish.
We get a little rubbish on this show once in a while. It just happens. It just happens without us even knowing it. Someone asked the internet, what is the one word you can never spell correctly? And the responses were relatable.
Okay.
I got them all here. I'm just trying to go through.
Can I ask one before you start? Because there's
sure,
one that
right
always
ahead.
Screws me up. License. Like driver's license. That always throws me. And it shouldn't, because I can picture it in my head, but I tend to type it wrong.
I don't have it on here. You got to give it to me.
Okay. License.
L-I-C-E-N-S-E.
I believe. Yeah. I believe that's right.
Is that it?
Yeah. I always want to put an S up front.
All right. So as a preemptive strike, tomorrow is a Wednesday in February.
Mm-hmm.
And those are both tough. I write it every day, so every week, so I know Wednesday.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
W-D-N-E-S-D-A-Y. How
named
about
after
February?
The Greek god Woden. Yeah.
And you missed an E there.
Oh, that's right. W-E-D-N-E-S-D-A-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Thank you, Josh.
You were just acting like the Philadelphia mayor there for a little bit.
Yeah. February. Spell February.
Well, it's February. F-E-B-R-U-A-R-Y.
Hemorrhoids. Do this with Rob because I think Rob's the right guy to do this with.
Do you have to? Do people have to spell that enough that it comes up on their list?
Well, I think it's like diarrhea. It's a it's difficult.
Mike,
I really do.
It's very different than diarrhea.
Well, no, I mean, but the spelling I'm talking
okay.
about.
Come is on. It H E M M E R H O I D S?
H E M O R R H O I D S. I would never get that right.
Oh, I totally blew that. Sorry, folks.
Alcohol.
Spell it. You bet. A L C O H O L.
You got that one. Nauseous.
N A S E A.
N A U S E O U S.
Damn it. Damn it.
This one's easy. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, D E F I N I T E L Y.
You got it. Privilege.
P R I V E L E D G E.
Wrong.
Ah.
P R I V I L E G E. And I put D's in it before, like privilege.
D's nuts.
D's. Refrigerator.
R E F I. No, R E F R I G E R. A-T-O-R.
You got it. Most people put a D.
Yeah, because like they spell fridge.
Like the fridge.
Yeah.
You're doing pretty well so far.
I'll
restaurant.
Take it.
I know that one.
R-E-S-T-A-U-R-A-N-T.
Rhythm.
I've got it. R-H-I-T-H-M. why THM?
Conscientious.
Oui. C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C. What was it? Conscientious?
Conscientious.
Okay. C-O-N.
You were rolling. You're conscientious.
And then,
you were rolling.
End it with E-S-S.
C-O-N-C. Perhaps not the best thing to do in my current condition. C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-T-I-O-U-S.
Oh, I missed the T. Okay.
Seize. Like, I'm going to seize before this show is over.
Because
I didn't bring my liquid IV and I just brought my cup of coffee. And now, between the DayQuil and the coffee, I am so dehydrated right now that I can hardly open my mouth. It's ridiculous.
S-E-I-Z-E. Great Scrabble word.
S-E-I-Z-E is correct. Receipt.
R-E-C-E-I-P-T.
Hold on just a second.
I gotta do this.
Hey, Michael. Come here. If you have the winter break, you might as well take advantage of it, right?
This is winter. This would almost be spring break.
Well, it's still February.
Would you make me a liquid IV? Do you know how to make a liquid IV with a big, tall red cup? Mm-hmm. Could you make me one and bring me one because I'm still feeling a little rough? Is your buddy coming over today?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't breathe on either one of you yet.
Right. Find Michael, find the bottle that says Captain Morgan. He can spell.
Rob, Jesus Christ. Captain Morgan.
A little under the weather today.
Need you to guys talk do to whatever you want.
Need to talk to the captain.
Go ahead and play. Play. Embarrass.
E-M-B-A-R-R-A-S-S.
That's good. You got it right.
Thanks.
I'm sorry. I'm all
complicated up. I'm going to have another liquid IV. Guess what's for lunch today?
Captain
eggs.
Morgan.
We're going to have eggs.
Let me tell you about funny. Funny is picking the right booze. And Captain Morgan was the funny booze that got me off track. That's funny. Accommodate. Accommodate.
Accommodate. A-C-C-O-M-M-A-D-A-T-E.
No, it's an O. A-C-C-O-M-M-O-D-A-T-E.
And it's funny because we said that. O-com-O-D-A-T-E.
I'm not going to use occasionally. I got that one.
Okay.
Necessary.
It's very Nessa, Mike. N-E-C-E-S-S-A-R-Y.
You got it. Boutonniere?
Flower. B-O-U-T-E-N-I-E-R-E?
Almost. B-O-U-T-O-N-N-I-E-R-E. Oh. Boutonniere.
Boutonniere.
Only three left. Convenience. That's easy.
Yeah, pass. Pass
all
on
right.
that.
Diarrhea. My all-time
it's a hard
difficult one.
One
to write, and I've written a lot of stories about diarrhea, and I never spell it correctly.
D-I-A-H-R-E-A-H? Oh.
D-I-A-R-R-H-E-A.
Mm. You know, it's
isn't
the full,
that hard?
It's the full given name of...
See how Michael did with my liquid IV.
Spicy.
Oh, that's good booze. All right.
Mike, diarrhea is actually the first name of Rhea Perlman. She did not take that as a stage name.
The first one is maintenance.
Oh, M-A-I-N-T-E-N-A-N-C-E or E-N-C-E. A-N-C-E.
That wasn't as good as I thought. I'm sorry.
You would have liked it if I'd messed up more. I messed up just enough to make it bad.
It was interesting. I found it, it was just a bowl of okay. J.D. Power has released its 2025 U.S. vehicle dependability study.
Now, he's our vice president. What does he care about that?
J.D. Vance dependability study analyzed the durability of three-year-old cars from the model year 2022. Lexus was the top-ranking brand for a third consecutive year. It was followed by, how about this, Buick.
Wouldn't you really rather have a Buick?
These are the most reliable.
I feel like the people that own those cars never drive those cars.
A lot of them
don't. Well, no one drives the Buick. The Buick doesn't get driven.
No,
it stays
I mean,
in the carport.
Exactly. They drive it to the grocery store and back.
Yeah.
I think Buick is, in my opinion, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, the Buick is the unsung hero of American automakers, because I rented one up in Boston one time. I found it to be an absolutely delightful automobile.
It's easy to make fun of like the Skylark or the old Buicks, but
yeah.
The last time I had auto work done, I rented a Lucerne, a Buick Lucerne, which sounds like a pile of ice cream, but it was a really nice car. I'll give it.
I had an Enclave, the big SUV Buick, and it was fantastic.
I hope it wins Best Picture.
Another car that I think does not get, as far as price point,
yeah.
Mazda. Mazda is number three in reliability, followed by Toyota. And here's the biggest surprise. I would think a Cadillac would get clunky after a while, but that's coming in at number four.
Cadillacs have a reputation of holding up really well if you maintain them.
Of all 30 brands, dependability, which one ranked last?
I have a 2022 car.
Yes?
Where does Ford rank on your list? Hopefully not last.
It was not last. It was not first. It was not on the list. But okay. I have the, but let's see, I have the
I'll say the last, Mike, is Suzuki.
That is incorrect, but that's a good guess.
Thank you.
I don't think they even, do they even make them anymore?
Maybe not, but maybe they did three years ago. I don't know.
I didn't know they made Mazda.
The last ranked car for dependability, Volkswagen.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah,
you always hear how they'll run forever.
Yeah, yeah. And I had one, and I kind of liked it. I thought it was pretty well built. But
my daughter just bought
a Volkswagen Bug.
A Bug?
Oh,
the Volkswagen ranked last. Car. Chrysler was next worst, followed by Jeep. You always hear Jeep on
Jeep,
this list.
So much trouble.
Audi. I hear a lot of bad things about Audi and Land Rover.
Yeah. I believe that. Subaru anywhere on the list? Because I drive a three-year-old Subaru.
But I bought Carla a used Land Rover, and I will tell you this, that nothing is truer than that car.
Yeah.
And an Albatross, an absolute financially devastating automobile.
I've got a Jeep in the driveway now, waiting for the tow truck to come pick it up
repaired. Jeeps are terrible. You see them all the time. They fall apart.
I was allowed to drive that Land Rover. I was not impressed.
I'm surprised that your favorite car, Subaru, is not on the list as reliable.
I think maybe it's just not tested because it's great. I've never had to do anything to it. It's awesome.
Unless you flip
it. They flip it.
Congresswoman Claudia Tenney out of New York has proposed a new bill which would make President Trump's birthday a federal holiday.
All right.
Trump was born on June 14th, and this year he'll be 79. There's just one problem. June 14th is already Flag Day, which isn't an official federal holiday, just an observance. Mm-hmm. Tenney says the holiday could be renamed Trump's Birthday and Flag Day.
That's a good idea.
At least it didn't end up on the 19th.
God almighty. Recognize Trump as the founder of America's golden age. How can it be a golden age when he just got into office?
These are the people that make Republicans look stupid. Just like the guy from Georgia.
Yes.
Who put the bill in for change Greenland to red, white, and blue land.
I know. It's where we are. It's where we are as a society, and we're just going to have to
just
deal with that.
Remember, folks, sleight of hand. When you're forced to look somewhere else when the real action is going on somewhere else.
Yes, that's it.
Keep your eye on the prize.
Absolutely. If you're a fan of the hazelnut spread Nutella,
yes,
it's wonderful. I have two pieces of news for you today, one sad, one somewhat uplifting.
Okay.
First, the sad news. The Italian chemist, who's credited with inventing Nutella, passed away on Valentine's Day.
Mike, that's so sad.
His name, Rob?
Yes.
Francesco Rivella.
What do you do with the hazelnuts? You grind them up.
You change it to make it like my name. It's a Nutella. He'd been in the sweets business since 1952 when he began working at Ferrero, the Italian chocolate company.
Sure.
Francesco was considered the father of Nutella and played a crucial role in perfecting the recipe. He also came up with the name. It was first introduced all the way back in 1964. I did not know that.
It's true that they called him the father of Nutella, Mike. I was actually at the birth. And
yeah, it's you got confused because you thought somebody had an accident.
Yeah, and he said, taste it. I said, get out of here.
Come on. The somewhat uplifting news is that Francesco lived to be 97 years old. And while it's unclear how often he ate Nutella, it's probably fair to say he enjoyed a decent amount of it and apparently had no impact on his longevity.
Hear, hear.
Still, it's a little bittersweet that Francesco died on Valentine's Day. And
did
just
he make money off Nutella?
I don't
or did
know.
The chocolate maker get all the money?
Probably. I would assume Ferrero probably cleaned up on this guy's invention. It was just over a week after World Nutella Day, which was celebrated on February 5th.
Yeah.
What's your best use for Nutella, Rob Spiewak?
It's a little unorthodox, but vanilla ice cream with Nutella on it is amazing. It's got it's sort of chocolatey, but it plays really good with the vanilla flavor.
I use it as a lubricant. Did you ever wonder why...
That you can eat.
Yes, that you can eat. Finally today, did you ever wonder why, how, where, who?
Yep.
Let's start that again, shall
Please.
We? Did you ever wonder how Conway Twitty got his name?
I never did, honestly.
I didn't either. I'll share it with you anyway.
Mike, I just want people to know that if you want hot, late-breaking news, this is the show to listen to.
Finally today, Harold Jenkins was Conway Twitty's real name.
True enough.
Hello, darling. Conway here. Hello, darling. Nice to see you. Mike, it's been a long time.
That's I too like old. For Josh, you need to sing tight-fitting jeans.
Yeah, she came across walking in those tight-fitting jeans. Hello, darling. Conway here. Let me whisper it. Do you have Redneck and Lovemaking Night by any
chance? I'll have to see what Twitty I have. I'm not a big Twitty enthusiast. But
hey, baby, I'm Conway Twitty. I was a country DJ for a very brief time in my career on the eastern shore of the state of Maryland.
Yep.
But I will tell you, I was fascinated and I enjoyed the music of Mr. Conway Twitty. I really did.
He wrote his own stuff. Singer-songwriter, very talented, and he had Mike. He had his own theme park.
Twitty City.
That's right. It was on his own property.
An old video is making the rounds again where Conway is talking with David Letterman and explaining the origin of his very original name. He said, I thought disc jockeys back in the 50s got so many records every week, they'd get 50, 60 new records, and they had to decide what they were going to play. And I thought, well, maybe with an interesting name like Elvis Presley, they might play it. That was his methodology. But he still couldn't come up with a name, so out of desperation, he opened a map up in 1957 and started looking around the Memphis area where he's from. And the first town that jumped out at him was Conway, Arkansas.
Oh, I bet he took that and made it his first name.
The next town he saw was Twitty, Texas. And that's why he called himself Conway Twitty.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
It's been a long time. You're just as lovely.
Lovely.
Beautiful hair on Conway Twitty, too.
Well, anyway, it was Conway Twitty. The rest is history. And I decided we are always... We are
what?
always looking for a little edge on the Mike O'Mara show. So I said to myself, self, how about you do the same thing? Whip open a map. And I'm not going to limit it to the Memphis area. I'm going to go over the whole country.
Wow.
And that's why I've done the same thing for my name. And I will no longer, this will no longer be the Mike O'Mara show because yours truly,
yes.
You can refer to me as Bald Knob Effingham. Thank you. Kentucky and Indiana. If you were
I'm not so sure we can fit that in a jingle.
Hey, it's the Bald Knob Effingham Show.
Here's Bald Knob.
Bald Knob.
Bald Knob Effingham.
You can call me Knob. Knob Effingham.
Here's Knob to play music for you.
How you doing, man? I'm Knob Effingham. Nice to see you. We'll take a break. Come back with Rob's jail. Anyway, the time is now. Grab the official TMOS Loud Cup. The loudest vessel in town. This 20-ounce insulated cup keeps drinks hot or cold. No frozen hands. Comes in three awesome colors. Best part, it's proudly stamped with the TMOS logo. You're seeing them everywhere. I can't believe Jack Nicholson had one at the SNL 50 reunion. He blew it at Kyle Mooney. You see, this cup doesn't just hold drinks, everybody. It makes noise. Fill it with your favorite beverage, then blow into the back to activate the horn. The harder you blow, the louder it gets. Most people will think you're just sipping. Here's a surprise. It fits standard cup holders for on-the-go fun, and the snap-fit lid keeps spills at bay. Rob loves his. He fills it up with meringue before he hits the high-lie matches in Fort Lauderdale.
Get it?
Ha-ha. Get your TMOS Loud Cup now. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com and hit the store and get loud. Get loud. Yeah, so, you know, we're not advocating this kind of behavior.
No, far from
it. I was watching a video that says this is how you should behave at a DUI checkpoint. Guy pulls up to the checkpoint, rolls down his window just a crack, and he says, I think he initiates it. He said, I just want you to know before we get started here that I do not consent to any search or seizure. I said, yes, can I have your license, please? Yes. And I said, yes, before I show you my license, I also note at the advice of my lawyer, I am not going to ask answer any questions. Takes his, he said, have you, and he shows him the license. He said, okay, sir. Have you had anything to drink tonight? He's totally silent. And the cop says, go ahead. Now, when you got popped because you had a little too much, and we don't advocate for that.
I don't like that plan. That seems like that's going to annoy the cop.
Yeah, I think you got to sort of be nicer than that. I wouldn't either. No, and didn't.
I wouldn't do it. But, I mean, you don't. It takes quite a bit of, you know, you got those guys, the sovereign citizens down here that give the cops all the hard
times. Yeah, it's that attitude.
It's the attitude. But anyway, did you get pulled over or did you get stopped at a point?
I got pulled over. I believe we were doing a T-shirt signing, and it might have been in Champions.
And you lingered a little longer?
Lingered a little longer, and then on the way home, I took a turn in downtown Fairfax, which is a lovely little villa, and I hit the curb. And
kids.
No kids. It was just a misjudged turn. And I got
something he would have done in any circumstance anyway, sober or
precisely. Well, sober, I would have hit the kids. I was swerving to miss them. And
it's terrible. It's terrible. You were very embarrassed. You kept it a secret for a long time. We all knew.
In 1994, well, I didn't talk about it on the air, but it was 1994 when it happened. And I did two roadside sobriety tests. I don't think they made me do the walk or anything, but I did blow into the thing. And I got a 0.10 and a 0.12. And I think at that point, Virginia was 0.08. Might have been 0.10, but it was right around. I was right on the edge, but enough to be brought in. And so
16 times the legal limit.
How's that? I don't think that's
right. I'm just kidding.
You're not much of a math guy, are you?
I just wanted to talk quietly like this.
So they brought me into the Fairfax station. Which is a beautiful facility. We came in.
I've been there, by the way. I've been there when I went on a ride along with Officer Meg. It's scary. Did they make that big clank sound when they shut the door to that building?
Well, before that, I had to like get my paperwork drawn up and had my mugshot done, and I was printed. And one thing is, I can look back on this and laugh now. I do remember my convict number was 9-5-9-4-3-3-2-1. I never got a copy of my mugshot, but I did smile for my mugshot.
So you were still buzzed.
I was still buzzed, and I do remember also when they
were you terrified at any point?
Oh my God, I nearly messed myself. It was horrible. And
but not horrible enough to, if you're smiling at your mugshot, you've
trying to make the best of it,
and you have you've calmed down. Did anybody the show was pretty well known at that point. Did anybody know who you were?
Nobody did. Not at that point. No. When I got my
did you try? You know,
yeah, did you drop
name? Tell people who you were.
Yeah, that's a great point.
No. I kept it as quiet as I could.
Okay.
Except for smiling at the mugshot, I might have been what was known as a model prisoner because I
Were you considering dropping name at any point?
Keep in mind this is 31 years ago, so I don't have a crystal clear memory, but I don't think so. No.
Okay. All right. Just wondering.
I think the idea might have been broached after I was released while I was waiting to go to court, but it never came up. So when they had to take your belongings when you get checked in, like shoelaces and stuff, and they did take my shoelaces in my belt, they said when they gave it back to me, I remember them saying, okay, here's your wallet. Here is your belt. Here's your shoelaces. Here are 17 Sharpie pens. Because we're coming from a signing. And here's the best thing. Some listener had brought it. And here's your Sharpie pen, and here is your eye patch. These are the things that I had in my pocket when I was
Why did you have an eye patch?
It was brought to me by a listener at the signing, I think. Or we might have been on a pirate jag. Who knows?
Okay.
So you get one call, and I didn't want to call my dad because that would be opening a tremendous can. I was 23 when this happened. So
that's sad that you didn't call your dad. I would have called a family member if he was close by.
I called my mom.
Oh, your mom. Okay.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And I said to her, because, you know, my dad might have been, no, he wasn't. He was still local. But I called my mom, and I started the conversation with something she always hates to hear. First of all, I'm all right. That already puts her on her heels. That's what I said when I flipped the car, when I called her. I said, first of all, I'm all right. And I went through the whole thing. And this is in the tank with other people around me, one payphone. And I get my chance.
You're in a room with a door on it.
With bars.
And so you're in a cell.
Yes, this is the tank before I got my cell. So I'm with other people.
How many people do you remember were in
there? I think there was probably six of us in there. Plenty of room on the benches.
Anybody totally out of control or anything like that? Anybody weird?
No, I remember it mostly, Mike, being sad. There was a lot of sad people in there. I was sad.
Was that the first time you got raped?
Stop it. Okay. I consented.
All right.
But, Mike, it was like you said earlier in the show. It was just a short friendship. God. I did not have an exit plan, but I called my mom. And I talked her through it.
Right.
And she said, well, good luck. And then she hung up on me.
Like angrily?
Yeah. She was not happy.
She was pissed.
Yeah. And there's no follow up to goodbye because you don't have another call.
Oh, I got to
blame the influence of Mike O'Mara.
No, I don't think
you're blaming it on me. So when that happened, when she said, well, good luck, was there any discussion of whether she was going to bail you out or any of that stuff?
Not a word.
You told her the whole thing, and then she said, well, good luck.
Yep.
You're on your own, basically.
Had to take care of it. When I got pulled, I was being followed because we left in a sort of together. The car behind me had Jimmy the intern and Cannon Grace. And so they knew what was up, and I didn't have to call them. And I believe it was Cannon who was waiting for me the next day when I got put out, when I got processed, got my court date, and got released.
So they knew you were in the Hooskin.
Yeah, so they took me. Well, they watched me get pulled. And so it was before cell phones. It was like before any age.
So they had obviously taken the initiative of calling to find out what's going on with you.
I believe so. Because
well,
I didn't
terrific, Cannon.
Yeah, that was an amazing thing. And
did
so
they,
he drove
me. Pull over to watch you go through like the test and all to see it. They wanted to see you in handcuffs?
No, I think, and I was never cuffed. I was too agreeable. But I don't think they ever got, I don't think they stuck around. I think they just saw it was going down and perhaps best that
it's
they
pretty
got
pretty rare
out of
that you're not cuffed. That's pretty good.
I don't remember being cuffed. So.
Did you ride in the front seat also?
No, they had a child seat in the back for me. I was very young.
When you say you don't remember being cuffed, that's a very weird answer. You don't remember being cuffed.
No, I mean, I would think that if I was cuffed, I would remember. So
that's
I don't,
still not a good answer.
Okay, well, what answer do you want? I don't think I was cuffed.
It's kind of interesting that, you know, that you say that way. You would definitively say, I wasn't cuffed.
The whole night, Mike, is a little blurry. So
okay,
I can't.
There we go. Now we're talking. Yes, sir. All
so
right, I get it.
They take me there, and they process me, and then they give me my court date. Cannon gets me, and I go to my car, because my car is still on the side of the road in Fairfax.
Big Caprice classic.
I think, Mike, that it was the brown one then. It was really an ugly car.
Yeah.
And my court date came up, and I eventually did tell my father, and he arranged for me and paid for my lawyer. Thanks, Pop. Appreciate that. And I was told to be here at this time and to wear a suit and tie and look your best and, you know, be very respectful. I said, okay. And I found out that the office of the attorney was literally across the street from the court. So you don't have to drive. You just go across the street. And I went in and I was like the third or fourth on the docket. And he gave me I think it was technically 3 days, but it was only two nights. And they put me in the Cypress Hill jail cell all by myself. They took, Mike, and keep in mind, I was wearing a coat and tie, suit, the whole thing. They took my shoelaces, my belt, and my tie.
This is after you were in the tank?
Yeah, this is
after court?
months later. Yeah, I had to go to a, I had to go to a hearing to be sentenced. It's funny, isn't it?
No, it's just weird to think. So they convicted you.
Yeah.
And then you went to jail.
For about 2 days, yeah.
The county jail.
The county jail. It was, again, very easy. I just had to, I was right
See,
there.
See, I thought you had stayed in the tank for three.
No, I didn't realize
that you went through the whole system.
I was released and then told when to come back. And I don't know, I think there was a
Did you get a fine?
No, I was 30 days without my license. And it could have been 60 days without my license if I wanted to just drive to work, but 30 days without.
So and you were never in general population when you went into the jail?
No, no, no.
You just stayed in the cell by yourself?
Yeah. I didn't even, no books, no nothing, just sat there.
No
I
friends?
What's that?
Couldn't make any new friends?
I yelled through the bars. I yelled through the bars.
Did you have a cot?
There was like a built-in bench. It was like a concrete bench in the room. It was almost like a prefab room.
And you stayed there for two nights?
Two nights, yeah.
Well, like without a bed?
Well, I mean, you could lay down on the bench.
But there was no bedding or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. It was sparse, man. It was really bad.
Wow.
I do remember one of my meals was a small elementary school-sized thing of milk, bologna, and white bread. That was the meal they provided. That's the one I remember.
Your jail sounds like it's from the Andy Griffith Show.
Well, that was what my jail was. Yeah. But no, Aunt B didn't bring me fried chicken.
Did you have a toilet?
Yes, there was a facility.
In the cell?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was
great. Did you use it?
All the time.
You blew that thing up.
I was hoping to get moved to a better cell.
Isn't this the exercise of getting information out of Rob?
Yeah,
isn't it weird? Yeah. It's weird. He just doesn't. He's.
Well, I mean,
he is so defensive in his own little way. He won't give you detail.
I'll give you detail on anything that I can remember. Shoot, I mean,
I would think you would remember more detail about not the DUI itself, but after you got convicted,
right?
You know, to think that they would put you in 2 days and two nights without like a proper. Like bed or cot.
And I was also...
Maybe you thought it was a bench, but it was really just a bed. Could you lie on it?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a bed.
Was there a pad on it?
Yes. Yes, so there was.
That was a bed, not a bench, definitely.
Well, no, but you could sit on it like a bench, too.
He's weird that way.
But I can go sit on my bed also.
Okay, well, granted. But it looked more like a bed. When something is...
You were in a legitimate jail cell with a toilet and a bed.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mostly used it as a bench because, you know, it was just out as a. It wasn't like a piece of furniture. It was built in.
It's the traditional jail bed that you see in movies and TV shows hanging on the wall.
No, no, no. It was seriously like built in. It was concrete. It was part of the structure.
Sticking out of the wall.
Yeah.
Out of the wall.
Yeah.
I just picture you trying to talk to anyone that walks past.
I didn't say a word for 2 days. I was so scared.
Did you have actual bars, or did you have a door, a metal door with
a window? I had a metal door with a window with bars. And don't forget the slot. The slot is where they would slide the food in. There was a slot.
And was there any communication at all when you were in there?
Here's
like from the jailers?
No. There was no. There was
the screws?
The screws, Mike. They said, I remember him saying, here's your food. But that's it. It was horrifying.
So you were like in suit pants and white shirt?
Yeah, I took my coat off because I was relaxed.
But you had the coat in the cell with you?
Yeah, yeah. They just sent me there with like my shoes I'm stepping out of because there's
Did you know the exact time you were going to get out?
No. They're a little loosey about it because they somehow, I believe I was sentenced to 3 days, but it turned 3 days and 30 days without license. But it turned out to be like just over 2 days, enough to qualify as 3 days because they didn't want to keep
good behavior.
Well, I was a charming, charming guy, but I was time with no windows, no watch. Time
it's like solitary confinement, a little squirrely,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
makes you a little squirrely.
It was scary, and it flipped me out. And I've never—I mean, I drank a lot after that, but I never, ever took a drop before I drove again. It scared the hell out of me.
Wow!
I'd never do it. Well, never
that's,
do it again.
Terrifying. Hey, there you go. That's a little picture of what happens to you. Hey, you know, be careful. Be careful out there, kids. All right.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm a little worried about taking the NyQuil last night.
You get a designated driver.
Scary.
And remember, it's a bed and a bench. It's two, two, two treats in one.
That was a very interesting exercise that you somehow just didn't want to say that there was a bed in there for
you. All right, Mike,
you were in
there
the
was a sleep number bed.
Did you sleep on the bench?
I don't think I slept. I think I tried, but I don't think I was able to.
Was there noise?
Like
a hey.
Sometimes
fighting.
That, and then sometimes just the sound of the slamming door, which is weird.
That's scary.
I don't care for that.
Right, thank you. What are your goals, people? Whether it's maximizing your beauty or losing that pesky weight, Carla and Dermglow Skin are here to help. Get expert guidance and top quality peptides delivered to your door, including semaglutide, tirzepatide, B12, and I got a shot earlier today, NAD plus, glutathione, and more. Plus, an incredible selection of skincare products. I use them all. I use the Sun Garb when I'm going to be out there on the golf course. I use the Repair Bar as my daily face wash, and I use the Citrus Scrub. Three times a week. That's kind of a gentle exfoliation. The best part. Carla's always there for you if you have questions. Her inbox always open, whether it's 1 pound or 101 pounds. Make Dermglow your destination. Visit DermglowSkin.com, click Weight Management and Peptides, and start your transformation today. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I have benefited from all of this. I've turned my life and body around. I've lost weight, gained riz, and I'm no longer infected. Now, go in peace.
Like, congratulations on beating the infection. I think that's
you
terrific.
You got me. Congratulations to my son's baseball team. Not baseball team, his flag football team. I texted this to Josh over the weekend. Sports, more sports. I will tell you, it's definitely something that you know right away. There are parents that are into this and parents that aren't. We fall squarely into the category of being into it. There's nothing we enjoy more than going out there and watching our little man play sports. And
do you see other parents that appear to be there out of necessity that don't seem to be enjoying themselves?
Not really. I think I always wish there would be more, but I think there are a lot of people that are into it, and they're great people that support their kids.
The ones that aren't into it are at home.
Yeah. Exactly.
You would see the family where only the mom shows up or only the dad shows up.
See, what I had envisioned is you would see people that were there and they look like a guy that was taking shopping against his will, where he's there, but he's not enjoying himself.
Well, you will have the dad that's on the cell phone the whole time. Like, he's kind of watching,
right?
He's working.
I get it. The entire Friday into Saturday was an exercise in the love of sport. For the O'Mara family, I was playing in the it's called Flighted Club Championship, and what it is the fake. Instead of flighted, it ought to say the fake club championship, because what it is based on your handicap. You get put in with the group that is similar to your handicap range, and that's how it works. The real club champion, this guy Abby that I know, that is absolutely. You know, he's won U.S. amateur. He's got stature.
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal. Congratulations to my friend. He's a friend. He's a good guy. He won the overall. He's done that a couple of times.
Is it
really
short for
talented golfer?
Abner? You don't hear of a guy named Abby much.
I don't know.
Does it open up into a? Does it have
no,
a bed?
I'd really rather not discuss it.
All right. Congratulations, Abby.
There you go. He won the real one, which is, you know. Everything counts. It's like no handicap or anything. I was involved in flight number, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I believe. I was in flight number 3. I am a 13.4.
Was that a Delta flight?
Can you tell we're talking about sports now? Can you tell we are on the subject of sports? Thank you. I had a lead. I was up 4 holes. It's match play.
Okay.
On the 13th hole, I was plus 4. I conceivably could have tied my way in, and I could have won. But I had already blocked out Saturday morning, which is my kid's baseball clinic, and we had a babysitter taking him, and I had blocked that out because I in case I won my flight, I would go on to the next level. And it would go all the way to Sunday if you kept winning.
Right.
That's it. I am here to say the greatest collapse of my golf career occurred on Friday, where I believe I was at the beginning of the death throw.
Sure.
I felt it a little bit, and there's a good excuse. And I was You know at the beginning of a cold how irritable you get, right? When you know you're getting sick.
Sure.
And you're just irritable. Yeah. Every tiny little thing got me irritated. And you know how golf is at a tournament, you'll see them put up the quiet signs where you're getting ready to hit a shot, and it's that kind of sport. And I normally could give two rat's asses if there's noise. Unless there's a real sharp noise in your backswing, I'm fine. That was not the case as we got to the second nine holes on Friday. And I got up to, I believe it was the, was it the sixth hole? I think it was. The Harley that started up. And you know when you hear a Harley where somebody's revving it just to rev it?
Yeah.
Just to like show somebody how loud it is. Mm-hmm. And it went on and on and on. That started. And then you right about the 13th hole where I had the 4-plus lead,
right.
A lady came from her home and rolled out to the golf cart and decided to chat with one of our other guys. She, Rob, you must have been there because as I'm getting ready to hit my shot, I hear it softly in the background. And I walk up and I'm lining up my shot and I'm a little perturbed. I'm sure it's going to end. And then they clear the green in front of me and I walk back. And then I guess it gets a little more animated as I run. And I walk over, stop in the middle of the fairway, and I look across.
And she I'm sure she got quite the stare.
Oh, she got a death stare. And it was, sorry. And she goes on his way, on her way. And I proceeded to...
She did say one more thing, Josh, before she left. She said...
Oh, you got to give him that huck, too, and spit on that thing.
And then she was off like a shot. Wow, that landed better than I thought it would. People don't know that the Hawk Tour girl is a member of Mike's club.
She went on her way.
It's the two different directions. You would have gone Hawk Tour. Mike would have gone Reba.
That's true.
So she waved.
Hey, everybody. This is Reba McIntyre.
And she was on her way.
Oh, Mike Happy's place is on every Friday night on NBC, streaming live the next day on Peacock.
And, of course, I needed to calm myself down, so I reached into my golf bag and got out my calming unit.
No.
But anyway, it was – look, it set the tone. I would stop it. Don't play it anymore. Thank you. I was off, and he ended up beating me on the 18th hole, so I lost. And Ken, congratulations. Good round.
He's just Ken.
He ended up winning the whole thing, so I was happy for him.
That's great. Good for Ken and good for Abby.
Yes, good for both of them. My kid, Saturday, the marathon. Goes to baseball for a thing. Do you have Turn 2 up where you are, Josh? Do you have that program, Turn 2?
I'm not familiar with Turn 2.
It's kind of a travel ball thing where they do clinics for kids and have travel teams that travel all over the state. What? What are you giggling at now?
I go to clinics.
I go to clinics. He had that Saturday.
Yes.
Then he has a 3 o'clock game where he started as the pitcher, and he pitched beautifully. And then 7 o'clock after that, he's got his flag football championship, where if they win the first game, they go to the Super Bowl, and if they win the Super Bowl, they get the trophy. And lo and behold, he scores the first touchdown of the flag football game, which was about as fun as it gets. He's not normally one of the receivers. He's a, you know, kind of a dump-off receiver that plays up on the line, but he caught the ball. It was awesome. And they went on to win. And you know what they did for these little crumb crunchers? They gave all these 11- and 12-year-olds rings. They got rings. They got Super Bowl rings. It was fantastic.
Funny.
I thought it was so fun.
That's awesome.
It was great. And that's where we went out to the little gathering, and I was, phoning it in. Yeah.
And I saw pictures with a Lombardi trophy as well.
They had a Lombardi trophy that they all held up. It was great. It was really, as far as trophies for kids, that was hysterically funny. And, it's also something you can hold on to. You know,
it's way better than the medals I give out.
Oh, isn't it?
Kids.
The medals suck. I think giving them rings like the pros get, it's just super cool.
If I won a sports medal, I'd wear it all the time.
around your neck all the time. And it sucks because it sucks for the other guys. And you see the kids that are upset. And, you know, there's got to be a winner and a loser. Mike, it's not an everybody gets a trophy league, but it was
It wasn't really that sad looking at the other kids, was it?
Not at all. No, I wouldn't have wanted the alternative. By the way, undefeated season for flag football. And by the way, they were the Chiefs. So just like in real life, but the Chiefs got one loss. Ha ha. That's it. So to my kid, salute. That's all I have on it. I just wanted to say, way to go, kids. You did a fantastic job. And one last thing about golf.
Yeah.
I hate a fat hot dog. I truly hate a fat hot dog. I don't like to eat. They're impossible to eat. Okay. If you're going to put a hot dog, have that uniform hot dog ballpark Frank size. Don't put more nitrates in the hot dog than you do, where you have to unhinge your jaw to eat the round hot dog.
I don't know if this would qualify. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, if I want a thick hot dog, I would just jump to a sausage. For a hot dog, I want the Nathan's thin hot dog.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think I can tell you, Mike, the perfect hot dog is the Hebrew National 3-ounce hot dog.
Yes.
Now, this is.
I agree with that, by the way. Store bought.
Mm-hmm. They're 4 to a pack. They're not that thick, but they are a little thick. A little thicker, Mike. And as I've said in the past, Mike, I have a sickness for the thickness. What about the if you were to buy a hot dog at Costco?
Yes.
One of the quarter pound ones. And this
I never go near that. And by the way,
and that's a mistake.
That is a mistake.
I'm going to hit a ding every time we put this on. Here we go. Every time that rears its ugly head on the show, Costco mentioned at least once on every show, I will ding if we get it on there. I just don't want to take the time after I got my stuff.
It's the reward for a job well done. Yeah.
It's a treat on the way out.
I know. And the hot dog there is long, but it's not fat. Fat means you got to.
Yeah, I guess
you're
right.
And I'm talking about simply the mess factor. I'm in a golf cart. I'm wearing a light colored shirt. I don't want to get any crap on me. And if I have to go. Like an anaconda, it's difficult for me to enjoy that. Thank you.
But what about like an excessively thin hot dog?
What do you mean? What, like a Slim Jim or something?
No. Like I would say that the standard Hebrew National 7 to a pack is a pretty thin hot dog, and it's the best tasting. All Hebrew National stuff is
Normal. That to me is the normal one. That's a normal hot dog. I don't think you need to add into the snouts and the ground up entrails that they put in those disgusting treats.
What about two hot dogs on one bun?
Jesus, we're entering a whole new world here. You've done that before?
Can't say I've thought of that.
I think I did once because
on a diet?
Yeah, I was. I wanted to cut down on the carbs. So I was focusing on protein. I was out of rolls, so I put two on one. Is that a crime?
I don't care for it.
And hot dogs are elevated with a bun. A hot dog just by itself isn't that great, but on a bun, now you've got something.
Not at all. Yeah. Unless you slice it up and put it in beans.
Fry it up.
Fry it up and put it in beans.
SpaghettiOs? You can put it in SpaghettiOs, too.
Did they have SpaghettiOs with hot dogs in it?
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
It's disgusting. I mean, really, talk about
process. Well, you know, SpaghettiOs is really, it's not, this might surprise you, Mike. I was doing some research over the weekend. SpaghettiOs is not a traditional Italian dish. It's not.
It's not?
No, it was created in America.
You know, I have to say this, even with my debilitated condition, I did have the opportunity to make one pot spaghetti for my family over the weekend from the guy online that I saw. Have I ever talked about the one pot spaghetti that I make? It's absolutely incredible.
I'm not familiar.
Did you breathe into it a lot when you cooked it?
No. No, look, everybody seems to be okay in the family. Carla doesn't have anything, and Michael doesn't have anything. What?
It's going to sit dormant for a while. Then it'll get them both.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get them both.
Yeah, once you get healthy, one of them gets hit.
Yeah.
I hope not. I hope not. The one pot spaghetti is fantastic. I can give you the recipe right off the top of my head.
Go.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
All right, here
we
go. Pound of dried pasta spaghetti, preferable. That's what you really should use. The regular thin spaghetti is the best spaghetti for it. You get one of those boxes of chicken stock. These are your ingredients here. You get a 4 cloves of garlic chopped. There you go. That's it.
Garlic.
You get a tablespoon of minced dried onions. You get a tablespoon of dried basil.
Basil's good. I love basil. Yeah, there it is.
You get a tablespoon of sugar. Then you get the 26-ounce can of Marzano tomatoes. Is it San Marzano tomatoes?
San Marzano, the best, yes.
You grind them up. All right, so now you've got all your ingredients.
What are you grinding the tomatoes with? I'm just curious. You don't have a tomato grinder, do you?
No, it's like a mallet thing that you pound meat with. Okay. And it's got that. So you fry. You get a pound of mild Italian sausage.
Ooh, yum.
Put that, maybe a little olive oil in the bottom of a pan. You fry that up real nice and good. Then you put in the tomatoes. You cook that up nice and good. Then you add your seasonings, your garlic cloves, your minced onions, and your basil. And then you add your chicken stock to the recipe. Then you add your pasta. And then you add one last ingredient, half a cup heavy cream. And then you let it cook for about 19 minutes. You tell me if that's not the best pasta dish you've ever had.
That's like not to diminish it, but a dumbed down bolognese because it's got cream and tomatoes in it. That sounds
great. I resent the fact that you're saying dumbed down. You know, it's my little one pot spaghetti. And,
well, it's not dumb at all. It's Mike. What it is? It's pasta for the intelligent.
You can eat. We have to take a break, and we'll come back with a beautiful video here.
This video is beautiful.
Hey, you know what we never got to today?
What?
Ever? We never got to you talking about Saturday Night Live's 50th anniversary.
I got plenty to say.
And all the goings-on, we can maybe table that till tomorrow.
I think it might be an extra.
And we never got to the Stroke.
This is awesome.
He's always thinking.
Well, there's always a lot to go into.
We'll be right, everybody. We'll be right back. Giddy up!
Oh, boy.
It's Derby time. The horses are at the track. The horses are at the track. So, gentlemen, start your horses. Vroom. The Mike O'Mara Show Kentucky Derby Party is coming your way. Join us Saturday, May 3rd at 5 p.m. at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern for a night of fun, laughter, food, drinks, and, of course, the big race. We'll have the best ladies' hat contest. That means men and women. Bring your finest, flyest, and most fabulous headwear. And, gentlemen, you're invited, too. That's right. We want you to put those hats on, too. Think big, bold, and feathered. Fruit optional, but encouraged. Let's get fierce. Grr. The best part, it's free. So mark your calendars, tell your friends, and RSVP now. See you Saturday, May 3rd at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern. Scenic, delightful, Herndon, Virginia. And remember, don't get happy.
Yeah, Josh.
Now off to my mint plantation. I have to harvest some product for Josh's famous mint juleps. People can call Jimmy's at 703-435-JIMS or email danielle.jimmysold. Let me try it again. Or email danielle.jimmysoldtowntavern@gmail.com.
That's it.
For reservations. Hi, Danielle. Looking forward to it. Play your thing.
Oh, it's beautiful video, Mike.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Ah, the 50s.
Let's go. 50s on 5 Radio XM. It's the dawn of rock and roll.
Let's go. Mike, I know that you are...
The Mike O'Mara Show. TMOS.
I've got something that will cheer you up even better than that TMOS jingle. Did you watch any of the USA versus Canada hockey game?
No, but I saw maybe a snippet or two of some viral video where it got pretty intense.
Well, Mike, it started right away because when they sang the American National Anthem, there was booing. And so this is how the game kicked off. This is really the first 2 seconds of the game.
Here's face-off matchup is underway, and the gloves are off. Matthew Tkachuk and Brandon Hagel.
Watch this.
Oh boy, that's a good one, buddy.
Here comes Butters. Oh, the helmet's off. Big fight.
This is not good for either one of these guys. That is a big, big fight. Lots of contact. Those guys are both.
Look at the crowd.
That was a good go. That was now, a good go.
Should the and I don't understand hockey except put the thing in the net.
That's a totally legitimate hockey fight right there.
So the ref doesn't need to stop it?
The ref stops it when one guy gets he goes down or the other guy or they get into a scrim and you know they get they get locked up. But no, they let him go, let him get out of their system right away. And they by the way, that's normally prearranged.
Well,
when
seems
they're at
like
the face-off circle. Yeah, well, they're at the face-off circle. They'll actually say, you want to go? Yeah, let's go. And they go.
Oh,
also, in that announcer, he just said, even the Canadian guy is from Florida.
Yeah.
They're both from Florida.
Yeah, but they're both enforcers, and they probably are not strangers to the fighting game in hockey, and they say, you know, they want to get going, and there might have been some bad blood beforehand, and that's why they say they want to do it. So there are many videos online you can see where the guys are mic'd up, and you can hear them have that, and in many times when they have a fight like that, they say, good job, and they tap each other's stick, and they go off there. And then there are other ones where it's not pleasant, and they're legitimately, they want to take each other's heads off. But make no mistake, with men that big who are that good at what they do, you can get guys that get pretty messed up in a fight, too, but it's part of the game.
Do you think they would have stopped the fight sooner if one of the people in the fight was Patrick Mahomes?
Thank you. Let's move on, Rob. Thank you. Good sports joke, though.
I was like looking for my new column, Sports Jokes.
Sports Jokes with Rob.
Maybe in the next newsletter.
Yeah, let's add that to the newsletter.
Sports Jokes.
By the way, great job on the newsletter.
Yes,
Josh.
Really, thank you.
Terrific. Bravo.
See, this week we'll add Rob's Sports Corner.
There you go. Sports Corner with Rob.
Featuring sports jokes.
That's funny.
The NBA All-Star game was over the weekend while we were gone. And during halftime, they do something very standard where they get a fan that goes into some sort of competition. And if they do something ridiculous, they win $100,000.
Very cool.
Well, this guy had to sink 1 3-pointer against, I forget who he was going against, but the other guy had to score 3 3-pointers.
Hold on.
This is Mike. Okay, this is halftime at the game. The guy from the audience. Or the crowd had to score one 3-pointer.
Come on, Valerie. Can you just fake it and maybe rehearse it before you come in here?
They brought him down to the stage?
Yeah, they did. With all of his...
with his costume.
He didn't have a costume because he's not a player.
Yeah, half-time,
he's an audience member.
Now, normally, when you think of going into a basketball game, they have to make the long shot for the 100 grand. Are you saying there was somebody that was playing defense against him?
No, they were competing. And
there were multiple guys trying to score
one
a three-pointer.
One pro had to score 3 3-pointers. The competitor only had to charge one.
Hold on.
Maybe we should just go to the video.
You want
to
just look at
the video?
Then
you
we can talk about it.
Just show it.
I don't like sports, Mike.
I know you don't.
Okay. All
right, keep shooting. Oh, my God.
This is it.
Keep shooting.
Oh, that's keep Mr. Going. Beast doing the announcing.
Well, the clip was too short to understand what the competition was. Is he competing against a pro to see who can make the most 3-pointers?
Yes.
It was, okay, sure.
He has to make 1 3-point shot before the pro makes 3 3-point shots.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it said at the bottom, Mr. Beast Challenge, so I guess it was $1 million or whatever, because that's what he's known for. Well,
I would have liked to see a longer clip, because that would be cool if we saw a longer clip of it. That would be because it wouldn't take that long with the competition, and so if he scores one before that guy scores three, that's the competition.
And he won.
Rob, well explained.
Yes, the audience member won.
There was a guy, Mike, that had loge seats, and the usher showed him to his seats.
I would imagine that would be a fun competition. Even though I'm not a basketball fan, to watch during the game where you've got the skilled pro on the left and the amateur on the right, and that guy's got to knock three down before this kid can put one in, and the kid actually makes a three-pointer.
Obviously more fun to watch.
Can I see it again? Let's see it. Now that we've really over-explained it, let's check it out again.
I heard the NBA All-Star festivities was fun this year.
Okay, let's check it out. Let's see it.
All right, keep shooting. All
right, that's the pro.
Oh, my gosh.
Missed
keep
one.
Shooting. Keep going. Oh! We did it!
Okay, there's the score on the bottom. And I wonder if both of them have the clock So if neither one of them does it, he doesn't win the 100 grand either, because it sounds like that there was a time limit. That's why we had the buzzer, and he did it right at the buzzer.
I do like Shaq celebrating with the audience member.
I did
That's
like that.
Cool. That's very cool. Well, you know how I feel. My number one get.
I've sent emails.
I love the man. I would love to interview him.
Maybe he could explain the challenge better if we had him.
Yeah, you just spend a little extra time on the sports clips so you understand what you're watching.
It's like beating my head against a wall, though.
I know it is.
Or you have to put the orange ball in the orange ring, and then you win, right?
There you go.
Right, just bring the video in. I don't know what this is, but it looks cool.
Yes, very good.
I might try that next
time. Maybe that's every sports clip from now on. You just say, I'm not sure what this is about, but it's sports. Take a look.
I thought I introduced the USA-Canada clip okay, the hockey clip, and I had some follow-up questions.
Yeah.
It was
you
okay.
Seem to not understand the concept of fighting in hockey, though, when you did
Mike,
that.
I don't understand the concept of fighting, period. Why can't we all just get along?
Okay, let's keep going, please.
Do you know what a Lucy is? And I'm not talking about...
Yeah, I'm working with one every day.
What does that even mean? L-O-O-S-I-E. A Lucy.
Oh, I think I had a couple of those when I used to work at WJFK after a long night.
We're going to actually close with this clip. Lucy is a sort of street parlance for if you go into a bodega, say in New York City, and they will sell you a single cigarette instead of a pack. Okay. So if you just want one cigarette, you go in, you buy a Lucy. Well, this technology has gone on to something else quite precious. Bronx bodegas are now selling Lucy eggs. They're breaking up dozens of eggs so you can buy them one or two at a time.
Well, you may have heard of bodegas selling so-called Lucy's, meaning individual cigarettes. Now, with egg prices skyrocketing, some bodegas have a similar plan for eggs. Erica Lunsford covers the Bronx and went to see how sales are going.
While speaking with the owner of Pamela Green's Deli, he says the idea to sell the loose eggs came after seeing customers being forced to leave a full carton on the counter.
The eggs for $2.99, that's better than half the pay $12 for one carton.
Mike, three eggs for $2.99, a dollar an egg.
Wow. Wait, are eggs really up to $12 a carton now?
Well, I would say that in
that
the bodega,
a New York price?
It probably is a New York bodega price, but I've seen the price go up, crawling up, crawling up, crawing up.
I know it's been going up.
I'm trying to think of the store, Josh. We've got them down here in Florida. I think they're all over the country. They're like, it's not Truck and Tractor Supply, but it's this.
Oh, I love that.
It's this rural store that sells, they actually sell chickens. You know, you can buy chickens. And if
they
you
do that
land,
at TTS, Mike.
They do.
It's Tractor Supply.
You go in there and you buy your chicken. If you have land, hell, this would be the time to. It's a lot of work. You know, it's not as easy as you might think it is. But if you've got the land, you know, put up one of those prefab coops and have your own eggs.
You know,
why
Mike,
not?
But one thing you need to keep in mind: Do you know why chicken coops only have two doors?
Why is that?
Because if they had four, they would be a chicken sedan.
He's on a roll, ladies and gentlemen, you ass. Oh, my God. Look at him. Look at him. His big daddy's up in heaven laughing at him.
What's
right
really
now.
Great is Mike's going to take a nap today, and he's going to wake up and say, did that show really happen?
Two things at the end of the show. Two notes that I have.
Yeah.
That I've got Harry Carey glasses on, first of all.
They're not that big. I like it.
And secondly, that I might want to adjust my lighting for tomorrow's show, but I'm pretty glad I made it through this episode.
I think you did great.
I'm actually feeling better, which is a good thing. This show is a tonic. We've always said that. It's a tonic for the soul. We'll be back tomorrow with a later taping. West Coasters, be aware of that. We're taping at 3 p.m. tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Programming note, make it a note on your calendar and be with us for that. Peace be with you. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Meara saying, so long, everybody.
You're so silly.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know.
Morons. Let him go.
And what excitement we have today.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify. the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.